Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Henry Lake hanging out here at Target Center in the Skyway, leading you up to pregame action for Timberwolves basketball. A late tip tonight, 8:40 tip, because it's a nationally televised game against the LA Clippers, the NBA champion contenders that everybody has written down, and I agree with them on that, because Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and everything else that they have, they roll into Target Center tonight. And joining me now is Dane Moore. You've heard him with me post-game. You will also hear him tonight with me as well. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Dane Moore NBA from Zone Coverage. Dane, I appreciate you giving me some extra time tonight, man. How you doing?
Of course. You got the Clippers over the Lakers?
There's a little bit of bias there, and I'll openly admit that, because I just think that, and it's hard to look at it, and Kawhi's amazing. I'm a LeBron guy. I just think that some people are underestimating how much of a defensive factor Anthony Davis, not an individual like you that's plugged in and is glued into NBA basketball, but I think the novice fan sees Anthony Davis and they're like, man, he can do everything. He's a unicorn or whatever. But like, when you really dive into it with him,
the playoffs with him will be a different thing.
He's a monster, man, defensively. And this is coming, guy. I'm a Kansas Jayhawk fan, right? And I remember years ago when Thomas Robinson and my Jayhawks had to run into
Thomas Robinson.
Had to run into the Kentucky Wildcats and Anthony Davis in that championship game, and everything that he did defensively. Just, I'm saying to myself, I'm like, my goodness, man, this you can't get anything past this guy. He's just a game changer, man. But I'm a, you know, I bleed blue. I'm a Wolves fan or whatever. Got tickets and all that stuff, whatever. But at the end of the day, my money's on the Lakers. But clearly the Clippers will be there. And I think that Milwaukee's playing even better than I thought. I knew Milwaukee would be good, but I thought that losing Malcolm Brogdon was going to affect them some. It really hasn't affected them any.
It's interesting with those three teams. I would say they're the three title contenders too. Kind of all three of them, we haven't seen them play in the playoffs really, right? Like, obviously the Lakers didn't make the playoffs at all last year. This Clippers team was a totally different version than it is now.
Yep.
They were the 8th seed last year. And then Milwaukee, bring him Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah. He's not there anymore either. Yeah. So,
but we saw them last year, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess we know them the best.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between a regular season team and a playoff team, right?
Absolutely.
What you can be. And I think the Clippers are kind of the Vegas pick right now, right? I'm betting on the Lakers being a hell of a playoff team. And I think that will make a massive difference. I think they'll be able to roll through the first rounds pretty easily. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be a fascinating series if they do match up with this Clippers team in the Western Conference Finals.
Well, I think that the thing about when you look at those three teams specifically, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks, you know the reason why I think they're great bets? Like, if I'm out in Vegas, I bet on one of those three teams. You know why? Because we know they're going to defend. Like, you know they're going to defend. So all this other stuff, you know that Kawhi is going to make shots. You know that Paul George is going to make shots. You know LeBron, Anthony Davis. You know that Giannis is going to get to the bat. We know what's going to happen with those individuals. But we also know that they're going to defend at a high level. They're not just going to defend. They're going to have moments where they're just going to absolutely lock you down.
Isn't it funny how those three teams are all, when we talk about this pace and space era, and the NBA is getting small, everyone's trying to be faster and shoot threes. You know what all three of those teams are? Huge. They're huge.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge part of what makes them great defensive teams, because they are able to play fast. They are able to shoot threes, but they can also defend. They're just literally in your way, given their size. So, I think it's a misnomer that everyone's saying that the NBA is getting like smaller and softer. Like, maybe in the middle. Some of these top teams are no joke physical pushing around. We saw that, mm-hmm. Minnesota with the Lakers before, and I think I mean, we'll see how much, how well the Wolves can push back tonight.
Are you talking about from a physicality standpoint?
Physicality standpoint, yeah. Like, think about how big they are. I mean, the Lakers, they go JaVale McGee, Anthony Davis, LeBron James. How do you get bigger than that? I mean, the Bucks, they go, Brook Lopez, Giannis, Antetokounmpo. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, and I'm not buying it either. I'm with you. I totally disagree with that thought process. If anybody thinks that, because, you know, one of the things when you look at even Philadelphia. Like, Philadelphia, they like to mix it up a little bit. Like, Joel Embiid, he likes to mix, you know, whether you think it's dirty or not, but they added Horford.
They're even more physical.
Simmons likes to be physical. I mean, they're even more physical right now. So I'm with you on that, man. I totally am in agreement with you on that. When you look at tonight's opponent, the Clippers, and them facing the Wolves, you're going to see both Kawhi and you're going to see Paul George. No load management tonight. Nationally televised game. Shocker. Okay, not against the Wolves. We don't get that, credit in terms of like, okay, you know what? We'll just go ahead and take a night off. It's funny because typically people will treat us like that, but not tonight. But the Wolves will miss Patrick Beverley and they'll also miss Lou Williams.
Yeah.
And I was mentioning this with Cal earlier. I just think that Lou Williams is just a phenomenal basketball player. And I think he's always been underrated coming into the league because a lot of people didn't really know what he was going to be because he was a high school guy, right? He goes from high school to the league, and he got drafted in the second round. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were kind of like, okay, he looks like somebody you can develop. But I saw early on in his career with Philadelphia, I was like, this guy's got long arms, and – clearly, he can shoot the basketball. That was like his greatest asset coming out of being a scorer, coming out of high school. But he's gotten so much better with everything, every facet of his offensive game, his handle, everything. Lou Williams being out tonight is a positive and a bonus for Wolves fans, just from the standpoint that come fourth quarter, he's somebody you don't have to worry about knocking down shots.
Well, I think there's also – I agree with all that. I mean, I think Lou was forever underrated, and now he's kind of come into his own – or he's coming into his respect that he's long deserved since he's come to the Clippers. I think
more so by players and fans.
For sure. I think what's interesting tonight, if we talk about how that pertains to this matchup, is Patrick Beverley, who's also out, is the player Kawhi's played the most with this season. And Lou Williams is the player he's played with the third most this season. So if you're looking for reasons that the Wolves could get in and, you know, have maybe a better chance, it would be that you're going to be seeing new lineup combinations from the Clippers that they haven't really been running with. And to talk about Lou, I mean, Montrezl Harrell is a huge part of this Clippers team, but a huge part of Montrezl Harrell is Lou Williams. And so to kind of break up that two-man pairing, which totally carries their bench, that spells an opportunity for the Wolves to, you know, at least be able to keep pace with them there, if not make up some hay when the second unit's in.
Yeah, I just really like the makeup of what the Clippers have done. They've done a really – I mean, Shamus, he's a shooter, man. He's a really good player. I think his development and, like, what they saw from him early on allowed them to trade away the his name is escaping me right now.
Tobias Harris.
The other point guard. The point guard.
For who the Clippers traded
away? Yeah, he's in OKC right now.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yes. I know they play different positions, but my point is that you've got that talent there that you brought into your organization, and I felt like that was great because Tobias Harris, he goes and he provides a lot for Philadelphia, but I was a little bit surprised that Philly, I don't want to say surprised that they did that deal, but that being a guy that I guess you had to involve him to get Tobias Harris.
That's true. I mean, it's just funny how it's all played out for the Clippers over the – you know, you go back to...
Because people thought that they were going to tank at that point.
Right, exactly. And then all of a sudden you fast forward a few months, and it was 4th of July, right, or 5th of July, when Paul George and Kawhi both come together at the same time, and you're like, oh my gosh, this team that we kind of thought was going to be developing, you know, a long development process, all of a sudden, boom, they're adults, and they're here, and they are NBA contenders, NBA title contenders, you know, ready to kind of rip through this league.
I think that one of the things that I will always do is give a lot of props and respect to Doc Rivers because I don't think that he gets the credit that is owed to him as an NBA coach. He's done a phenomenal job everywhere he's been. Like with every organization he's coached at, and clearly he won an NBA title with the Boston Celtics. I know a lot of people say, well, he had Ray Allen and he had Kevin Garnett. Yeah.
What coach that won a title didn't have good players?
Exactly. You know where I was going with that. Yeah. But, like, he's a really good coach, man. And I think that one of the great assets for him is that in this league, it isn't just about X's and O's, but it's about how you manage egos and how you get along with your guys. Like, Doc Rivers was a really good player in the league, and he just gets being able to have good conversations with his players. I have talked to Doc Rivers, like, at NBA All-Star Game practices and stuff like that, like, years ago, like, out in L.A., and he gets it. Like, he's a cool dude, and he's not, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't think that he's bigger than the game.
Oh, he's a... As somebody who stands in a lot of those scrums with the coaches, I mean, Doc Rivers is like a top five, like, coach scrum because he's real.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
real.
He just is. You ask the question, he answers it. You know, and it's a he is very human, and I think that is something that, you know, players feel. I think that's it makes them more comfortable, allows them to be who they are. Like, I mean, bring Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, those guys were floundering in ways before they kind of, you know, lined up with Doc, and I think he's found ways to bring the most out of them. Again, not just because of X's and O's, which he's clearly good at too, but because he understands their personalities and he understands that basketball is about maximizing personalities. I mean, remember with the Celtics, the whole Mbutu thing, right, where he it was about, you know, cultivating the group. And yes, they had the talent, but there's been plenty of other teams in the league who have had comparable talent to what those Celtics teams had. They were able to completely run through the league like that. And I think that's why this Clippers team, you look out because the Celtics got good right away. They did it immediately. And Doc has experience doing that, learning on the fly. You don't get practice time in the middle of the season.
Yeah. But one of the things I love about Doc Rivers in terms of from a media aspect and angle is he doesn't take stuff personal.
Yeah.
Like there are certain coaches, they just – when you're in their space, they take things personal. It's like, calm down, just relax, man. We're doing our jobs, and we appreciate you for being who you are. Like, I appreciate Coach Popovich because he gets it. Now, I know he comes off as kind of a curmudgeon at times and all that, which is kind of funny and it's kind of cool at the same time.
It's not funny when you're the one asking the question.
I know, but at the end of the day, though, he is one of those guys that he understands that he gets it.
That's true. That's
like
true.
Like it's not like it's. He does that, but at the same time, he's not a guy that's attacked, understands that he gets it.
That's true.
Like it's not like it's he does that, but at the same time, he's not a guy that's attacking you personally. Like, he's not looking deep into your soul and saying, I hate you. You know?
his aura just kind of gives that off a little bit.
He just loves – he loves – because with him right now, it's a bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit with him, and he has fun with it. Like when rest in peace, Craig Sager. Like, it became a bit that he would just, that's two questions. You only get two questions. No, I'm not giving you nothing. No, why are you asking me that? Like, I love that about him.
No, he's, it is, you know, just when all these different coaches come through town here, it's so interesting for me, you know, because you see him on TV all the time. You're trying to, like, understand, what is this coach's personality? How does their mind work? And you kind of get that a little bit more when you're up close and personal with someone talking to him. And, it's a fascinating, like, diversity of the different types of coaching personalities in the league. I mean, Ryan too. Ryan and Doc Rivers and Greg Popovich, those are three completely different types of people, all of which have the same job. You know, it's just interesting how that works.
Of the top coaches that you've had the pleasure of being around and interviewing or being in a scrum with or whatever, who would you say are your top three?
Billy Donovan is very good. Well, to me, if you're as a reporter, you want your question answered.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, and there's different ways to answer a question. You can just kind of throw the canned answer, the canned response back to you. And I appreciate the coaches who pause for a second, think about what they're going to say, and actually answer what you're trying to give. And Billy Donovan's up there. I mean, Ryan's actually really good too. He'll talk.
Yeah, I'm gonna
talk hoops with you.
For me, I'm gonna take Ryan out of the conversation.
Personnel.
I've known him since a little kid.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Quinn Snyder, who was here before too. He'll take it serious. You know, that's what you want. Is you want a conversation. And Doc is it's a little bit more of like casual.
Yeah.
Which I guess that's a little bit more comfortable. Yeah,
I like that
too.
I like Doc. I like Pop. I love Steve Kerr. I'm a big Steve Kerr fan.
Yes.
He's very laid back and down earth. Those are probably my top three. Taking Ryan Saunders out of it.
It's interesting that the Kerr angle of it, right? So Kerr comes from the media background in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before he was the coach.
Yep.
And he just brought such a casual, like, media, the way they handle the media with that team. It's just so very open, and the players are, all their conversations with their reporters are casual. And I think that's a big reason why the Warriors got popular. Obviously, they got popular because they're really good, but you got to, like, actually see who Draymond Green was. You got to know who Klay Thompson was. And I think Steve Kerr got that. You know, that's the best thing. Let's talk to them.
They're an extension of the coach. Like, yeah, he's relatable, so his players become relatable to fans. Like, that's a big thing.
It's new school. I mean, the coach who was here before, he was not like that, you know? There's always this anxiety about protecting, you know, information, and I get that. But you can have a real conversation without giving away how you're going to defend the other team's best player,
yep,
or something like that. And there's that balance, and I appreciate the coaches and the players who are willing to actually, like, be who they are.
Yep.
Let us get to know them a little bit.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. All right, so we got one more final segment with Dane Moore from Zone Coverage. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Dane Moore NBA. Leading you up to the pregame show with Cal Soderquist on the Wolves Radio Network, coming up at the top of the hour here. News Talk 830 WCCO. And Dane Moore from Zone Coverage.
I'll be with you to support you.
Yeah, you'll be supporting me after you leave the locker room here tonight on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, final couple of minutes. Well, how much defense we going to play tonight, man? You know you got to defend against whoever you play. You got to defend at an even higher level tonight when the opponent is the LA Clippers.
I think it's really big that the Wolves had a practice yesterday. And I know that doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you have a very young group who's been on the road a bunch, they haven't had time to work together. And Brian just said before the game, or before this, that they're a team that needs to compete to learn. And to see them, to have them have that opportunity to compete yesterday and actually be called out for what's not working defensively and scheme that to the Clippers, I think that has the opportunity to be a reason why they can handle this team better than you might think.
I guess with that. I mean, just
so who do you think's going to bust them?
No, but what I'm saying is it's unacceptable to play at this level the way that they've, like, they just haven't, sure, defended. And practice or not, you just got to do it, especially against some of the teams that they should have won that Dallas game. Luka was flat out, Luka Doncic, that's like the worst game he's had this season. They should have won that game. And in the OKC game, mm-hmm, that's just, come on. I get it, the shirt tuck thing and all that. But
well, the defense has been bad. I'm not taking anything. Yeah. I mean, it's literally been the worst in the league in December.
And what they preach is what they preach, and what they say is what they say. I totally get that. But at the end of the day, I just can't really ride out on that as an excuse.
It'll be interesting how they handle Kawhi and Paul George. And I think you and I have talked about this before of, you know, Robert Covington has been functioning as power forward on this team, right? So it kind of keeps him more on the back line. Today, what you'll see, I assume, is that Covington will be out defending Kawhi Leonard out on the perimeter. And I think for this team, that Covington is maximized defensively when you use him in that sort of way. Because I just think he's minimized when you just have keeping him back as like a rebounder. If he can get out there, put pressure on Kawhi Leonard, he's obviously the best suited to handle him. That could make a difference there. And then it's gonna be as it always is with defense. The other four guys got to surround him.
Yes.
You need to be playing on a string. They can't. A huge problem has been they've just been leaving guys wide open in the corner to knock down threes on them. They need to be communicating. The transition defense has been terrible.
Yep.
Communicate and be intentional every defensive possession, and you can stay in this game. And I was saying before, don't sleep on Lou Williams being out. That throws a lot of different things.
Absolutely.
For what they're
that's why
do.
I said advantage Timberwolves.
For sure.
From that perspective. I want to see what Cat's going to bring tonight. And the reason why I haven't, well, we're up against the clock. Why does it seem like we have more time? All right, we're done.
Long-winded.
We're done on the show. But we're back,
yes,
after,
sir,
the game. Coming up next here, News Talk 830 WCCO. We got the pregame with Cal Soderquist on the Wolves Radio Network. We will talk to you after the game here. News Talk 830 WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.